the brat, back by popular demand. Michael, what is up?
Hey, Paul, doing good. Just got off the golf course, and wouldn't you know it, I ran into Hugh Freeze out there.
I don't know why. Michael, we were talking about this with John Talty, and there's so many aspects of this that are just so ridiculous. First of all, I've pointed this out, but I'll say it again. You don't, the head football coach at Auburn doesn't have to post his scores. He's not trying to make the Masters next year. And the fact that he played 11 times in June, and that was a week ago, and who knows how many times he's played this week. What does that say to you?
Well, it's starting to make sense, Paul, that I don't know if you caught this earlier this offseason, but Hugh Freeze says, hey, this is year three. The goal is to make a bowl game. So that makes sense. I just checked the recruiting rankings before I jumped on with you, Paul. Kentucky currently has a better ranked recruiting class than Auburn. So all of a sudden that makes sense. But hey, at least Coach Freeze gives us something to talk about heading into SEC Media Days. If I get an opportunity to speak with him, I'm gonna ask him what his handicap is right now.
Yeah, I mean, Talty had a great line a minute ago. He said, in spite of all those golf rounds, his swing still looks terrible. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what to say. But, you know, we live in this in the world where right now when you say Hugh Freeze, there's a golf joke, isn't there?
There is. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how he can blame this one on Peyton Thorne. But I think he'll find a way. But no, seriously, this just, at least we're not talking about his football program, which has about as much momentum as the Titanic right now.
Michael Bratton with us, of course, in case you were wondering who that person was from that SEC podcast. Michael, outside of the Hugh Freeze story, there really isn't any other stories, but what else is getting your attention lately?
Well, again, like you referenced, we got Media Days coming right around the bend. I'm going to be pretty interested to see which players make the trip this year. That's not always a huge storyline, Paul, but with so much outstanding quarterbacks in this conference right now, and a lot of them, you know, you would assume a guy like Arch Manning, Texas is doing it wrong if they're not bringing him, but it wouldn't be the first time that a SEC program has not brought I don't want to call him an underclassman, but a first-year starter. Someone like DJ Lagway, who's only a sophomore, will he make the trip? Lenore Sellers, another redshirt sophomore, will he make the trip? There's a real opportunity, I think, Paul, for the SEC to kind of blow the rest of college football out of the water with the star power at the quarterback position. You know, a lot of the times these coaches keep these players under wraps for some reason. I mean, that's the whole purpose of the event, in case I need to tell them. So I'm going to have a keen eye on which quarterbacks attend this thing.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes they do it because they just don't want that much attention, and who knows? They'll get it eventually, whether they get it at Media Days or when they show up at camp. Let's move along and talk about Alabama, because I know I've seen lately. I thought I was wondering if there was an imposter, maybe Cousin Shane had kidnapped you, and they put in someone else, because you've been saying nice things about Alabama lately.
Yeah, and let me remind your listeners, Paul, that Alabama's my pick to win the SEC. I don't know if you just saw this, but the new college football video game just debuted their team rankings. They have Alabama as the number one team in the nation this year. So the buzz is starting to grow for the Crimson Tide year two, of course, under Kalen DeBoer, or as we like to call him, DeBoering. But again, he's keeping it boring. I'd rather he do that, not spend all his time on the golf course. I think he's got a top three roster. He's got his offensive coordinator back. I think they're going to have one of the best defenses in the country. This is, I think, a perfect spot for the Crimson Tide to be flying under everyone's radar. I don't think they're going to be the pick at SEC Media Days, but they are my pick to win the league.
And let's dig deeper, because talent-wise, they have exactly that. But what are we missing here? I mean, you've already taken a shot at DeBoer. Where does he factor into this equation?
Well, he's easy to poke fun of when he loses to Vanderbilt for the first time in 40 years. And I still can't believe that Oklahoma result. It was so lopsided. But This year, I just moving away from the insanity that was the retiring of Nick Saban and players' mass exodus via the transfer portal. I just think, you know, again, going into another year, he's fully invested into the players that are there. The players are bought into what he's doing. You know, let's call it what it was with Jalen Milroe. That was like a shotgun wedding that I think that shotgun went off a couple times during the season last year. So I'm certainly not suggesting that Ty Simpson is going to be a better quarterback or more talented quarterback than Jalen Milroe, but I think he could be far more productive in this offensive system as long as he doesn't implode like the previous quarterback. They just have to make sure the quarterback doesn't hurt them this year, which unfortunately happened, you know, about three times too many last fall.
So Michael Bratton picking Alabama to win the SEC. Did you also say the national championship?
Yeah, we can go a step further, Paul. I mean, if you're going to win the SEC, you're, in my mind, you're always going to win the national championship. So it'll probably come down to Alabama, and it'll probably come down to, oh, Texas or Georgia, who knows, in the national championship, and obviously the SEC. If I had to say in the SEC, I'd say it'll be Texas and Alabama and Atlanta.
Okay. Georgia, obviously, up there, you mentioned that. So that's three. Last year, they only had three in the playoffs. So who's next?
Well, everybody's got that eye on LSU, right? But not me. I'm not a huge believer in Brian Kelly. All they do is lose week one every year. And I think this is the toughest season opener to date at Clemson. I think Florida beats LSU in Baton Rouge week three. And then we got to start the who's going to be the next coach at LSU talk. So, again, I don't think they're going to dismiss Brian Kelly week three of the season, but I think that'll be the beginning of the narrative if he's losing to Billy Napier in the third week of the season at home. So I don't have LSU there. I think three teams to keep your eye on, Paul, for that probably that last spot in the college football playoff. I think the SEC only gets four. I think it'll come from Texas A&M, Oklahoma, or Florida, one of those three. And right now, I would probably lean Texas A&M, believe it or not.
So you're suggesting by the third weekend of the season, LSU will have two losses. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. At Clemson, because they lose. I mean, I'd love to see them beat Clemson. I'm not a big fan of Dabo either, but all LSU and Brian Kelly does is lose week one. So I'll give them a loss there. And then, yes, at home against Florida, I think Florida's going to be one of the teams to beat. I just don't think they can navigate their schedule all the way to a 10-2, maybe even a 9-3 that it will take. Same deal with Oklahoma. They have a gauntlet of a schedule as well. There are no easy schedules in the conference, but Florida and Oklahoma arguably have two of the hardest, while A&M is a little bit more manageable. I think A&M, you know, I think they can get to 10-2 and make the college football playoff this year, even with facing Notre Dame out of conference.
I didn't hear you mention Ole Miss. A lot of people think they're a sneaky good team.
I thought they were sneaky good last year, Paul, but you know, that defense was arguably the best in the conference, particularly against the run, yet they couldn't get it done with three head-scratching losses. Well, the one at LSU was forgettable. Kentucky and Florida were not, and this roster is not nearly as good. So the path is there for Ole Miss, but I call Lane Kiffin Lane Whiffin for a reason, Paul. He'll whiff on a game or two, a critical one, that'll cost the Rebels another shot at the college football playoff. I think they'll be good, but maybe 8-4 good, not nearly good enough to make the college football playoff.
I haven't heard Tennessee mentioned.
Well, yeah, Cousin Shane, he thinks Tennessee's going 11-1 this season.
Sure he does.
I think he's been drinking on the golf course with maybe some of these coaches, because I don't think Tennessee can sniff the playoffs this year, not with a trip to Alabama, a trip to Florida, already discussed both those programs, and, of course, Georgia. They haven't beaten Georgia in 8 years. But in reality, Paul, if they can flip one of those three games, they have a shot. But I just don't see it. I think they'll trip up somewhere else on that schedule. And again, I'm looking at that Oklahoma game. I know it's in Neyland Stadium, but I think that's going to be a season-defining game for both those programs. I think Tennessee's closer to 9-3. So again, really good, but we're talking playoff, and I don't think the Vols are quite there this year.
Michael Bratton with us. We'll run a couple more by before we let you get back to to Cousin Shane's buffet at the Cracker Barrel. So let me get to let me get to Auburn. You've taken your shots, but Auburn's schedule is interesting. They started Baylor. They have some difficult games early on. They're at Oklahoma. That's a game they lost at home. They're at A&M in Georgia. I thought that Auburn really probably needed to get through that with maybe one loss, because on the other end, you got Missouri, a really good team. You do have Alabama at home. So how do you handicap the Auburn schedule?
Yeah, I mean, the path is there, right, Paul, to be much improved. And again, these are the seasons that are kind of magical for Auburn. When they get Georgia and Alabama both at home, they have done some wild things in those seasons. So this is one of those years. If Coach Freeze can get off the golf course and possibly flip one of those games, it could be a magical season. But I'm just not seeing it, Paul. And I believe in Jackson Arnold. At least I believed in him last year. But what was Auburn's problem last year? Turning the football over. What did Jackson Arnold show us for the vast majority of his Oklahoma career? He's a turnover machine. So I'm not sure how those two mix well. If they do, if he can prevent that, they'll have a lot better supporting cast on the plains this fall. Then maybe Auburn's a dangerous team, but I got to see it before I believe it. I think Hugh Freeze, you know, his reputation as a quarterback whisperer, I don't know where that comes from. He beat Nick Saban twice. I don't know what he's done since. So, no, I mean, I think a good year for Auburn is 7-5, and that's not the standard down there, but apparently that's his standard, is just making the bowl game. So maybe the Music City Bowl, which I guess that's a win for him.
Well, it's better than no bowl game. Michael, before you go, I get a lot of questions about this program, and I've tried to defend the coach, but fans are getting a little tired. Nobody really knows what to make out of Mark Stoops' situation at Kentucky.
Yeah, well, the nicest thing I could say about Mark Stoops, he owns a bourbon brand, and it is outstanding, Paul. I drink it every time Kentucky
loses.
Is it
really?
Okay. So I have had quite a bit of it the last couple seasons. But, yeah, again, that's the nicest thing. I don't know how he's still the coach up there. But, again, he's out recruiting Auburn somehow, so we'll give him that. How he beat Lane Wiffen, I'll never know. I mean, that literally cost Ole Miss a spot in the college football playoff. But I believe the over-under is 4.5 on Kentucky, Paul, and I would bet the under if I was a betting man. So I think it's another rough year in Lexington. And if Mark Stoops didn't have a $40 million buyout, I don't think he'd be the coach in Lexington right now.
Okay, I didn't mean to. I was paying attention to what you said, but I was checking the USGA handicap, and apparently Freeze just missed a 3-footer at 18 at Willow Point. That's where he has a home at Lake Martin. So he's recorded yet another round, 78, with a bogey finish.
Yeah, and he's blaming his caddy, is what I'm being told. So. The excuses are all around for Coach, even on the golf course.
He just fired his caddy. Michael Bratton never fails to disappoint. Michael, we'll see you soon. Thanks so much. We are coming back with your phone calls right after this.